It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are live right here on SportsGrid on a Monday morning. This is the Early Line. I am Kevin Walsh, joined by Donnie Rightside DRS. What's the word?
Feeling good today on a Monday. Big things over the weekend in the city of Philadelphia. A Friday night Sixers game, a Sunday afternoon Sixers game. And also, Kevin, keep in mind, this week, even though we might not get Major League Baseball starting on time, but those conference tournaments are going to start on time in NCAA basketball this week. I'm excited. It's time to go.
There certainly are a lot of good stuff to get to. Before we get to Harden and Embiid, Saturday, college basketball. A lot of upsets. Some of them are not upsets, by the way. Auburn was not upset. Kentucky was not upset. It's a massive pet peeve of mine. It is what it is. But Gonzaga goes down. Arizona goes down. Purdue, Baylor beats Kansas. DRS Saturday, the weekend as a whole, was nuts in college basketball.
It certainly was, and it might change like maybe the landscape a little bit as we head into the tournament, because I know we talked about it on Friday, or at least Thursday or Friday last week, of that St. Mary's Gonzaga game, saying, hey, do we think Gonzaga needs to run the table in both regular season play and conference tournament play in order to get a number one seed? And I told you, hey, if they lose a game, Kevin, in the regular season, they better win the conference tournament. Now, looks like that's going to get interesting. But at the same time, we didn't expect so many other teams to lose in the top 10, and they did.
Yeah. The slight opportunity for the rest of the landscape to catch up, and they all handed that back. But we'll talk about what that loss meant for Gonzaga and try and also get a sense of what the one seeds look like right now, because you've had some teams that in their losses, it wasn't all that bad. And then you had a team like Arizona. It leads to a little bit more questions. You drop that game to Colorado. Again, we'll get to college basketball, a lot to break down in that respect. Same for NBA. And I'll tell you, Harden and Embiid had a tough act to follow in for their debut on Friday against Minnesota. But I feel like, Donnie, they did a pretty darn good job at Madison Square Garden. 37 for Embiid. James Harden, 29, 16, and 10. Nice little triple-double. This duo is rocking.
Man, impressive. Absolutely impressive. And I watched most of the game yesterday from the Garden. And the Knicks, they were game in the second half. Even took the lead over the 76ers. But whenever you have a 1-2 punch like Harden and Embiid, and the one thing that was so tremendous was how many times, Kevin, they got to the line and how many times they made their free throws from the line. A big-time win for the Sixers, because coming off that, I don't want to say emotional victory on Friday night where they were incredible against the Timberwolves, maybe a little bit of a letdown in a matinee game at the Garden didn't happen. And James Harden and Joel Embiid looked like, Kevin, they've been playing for decades together.
I was watching the game, and at one point, Mark Jones, you're doing a great job on commentary, just turns and goes, man, this game got away from the Knicks, didn't it? It was like a two-point game. And like Embiid checked in, and it was just, yeah, I'm at the line every time. Joel Embiid, 23 of 27 from the free throw line in that game. The Sixers, of course, will be linked to the Brooklyn Nets all season long. The Nets had a monster victory over the weekend over the Milwaukee Bucks, 126-123 on the road, nearly a double-digit dog. Very, very impressive. But also some big news around the other members of, actually, for all of the big three. Kevin Durant is supposed to be back next week. That's certainly sooner than later. You've got Ben Simmons with a back injury now as he tried to ramp up and return to the court. Not sure when we'll see him. And Kyrie Irving is now allowed to attend a Brooklyn Nets game and watch it, but he still can't play at home for the Nets. The radio audience is in full effect here, DRS, on a Monday morning. Thoughts on the Nets updates?
Yeah, it's kind of, it's very interesting to say, especially that last one here. He can attend but cannot play. What happens if he wears a mask while he plays in the game? Can he play at home? There's so many legalities and technicalities on that. But talking about the injuries here, Kevin Durant, I did read today, should be back this week. Could be late in the week. Could be early in the week. So that's a little bit up in the air. But Ben Simmons, doesn't look like he has a target date to return yet. But getting back to your point where they beat the Bucks over the weekend just shows you how talented Kyrie Irving is. So when you get really good basketball players on the court, Kevin, you actually have a really good basketball team. But that was a big win over the weekend there for the Nets, no doubt about it.
Yeah, and we'll also continue to unpack what those injuries mean for the Brooklyn Nets and moving forward. Last one in the NBA, the Golden State Warriors had won over 60 games in a row when they were able to take a lead of 20 or better. That streak was snapped. They were up 21 against Golden State. They could not find the bottom of the net whatsoever. And the Don Powers Dallas passed Golden State at Golden State with 34 points and 11 boards.
Yeah, how about that? 34 points, 11 boards, only two assists for Luka Doncic because I guess he figured late in the game, I'm going to take this game over by myself. 13 points scored in the final quarter for the Golden State Warriors as they go up in flames. No Klay Thompson in that game. Steph couldn't carry him through. Very rare they lose a 20-point lead, that's for sure.
No doubt about it. Moving over towards the NFL, Bucks guard Ali Marpet retired at the age of 28, which is a surprise. But I'll tell you this, we also found out, and this one less surprising, Donnie, Sean McVay committed to the Rams, going to pass on heading to the booth this offseason.
Yeah, one surprise in retirement, the other non-surprise. You have to run it back. You can't retire at this point. Everybody's coming back on your team, including Aaron Donald, so you give it another go. Good move by Sean McVay. Maybe he wins another one next year. Then he goes to the booth for, I don't know, $20 million a year. Insanity what these guys are getting paid.
We'll continue to ask about that, I am sure. Lastly, Major League Baseball. Whatever. I don't know. They're going to meet today. Nothing will happen. Who cares? Play 140, 100. I don't really care at this point. Yearly line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We saw over the weekend, and there were a lot of big ones, but I don't think any bigger than what took place in the WCC between St. Mary's and Gonzaga, because Gonzaga is a team who is basically damned if they do, damned if they don't. They beat every team in the WCC by 20, and people point and say, look, there's absolutely nobody in that conference. What a waste of time. I can't take Gonzaga seriously. If Gonzaga loses a game in the WCC, as they just did over the weekend, they go, see? They can't even beat St. Mary's. You got to be kidding me. I can't take this team seriously. Gonzaga exists on these extreme spectrums, but this was a surprise result as Gonzaga, despite being on the road, was still a double-digit favorite. And I think more surprisingly, DRS, is the way that this happened. You felt like if St. Mary's was going to beat Gonzaga, probably going to need to get hot, maybe a little bit outlier shooting. They held the Zags to 57 points. My question to you to start this off is, did this game tell you more about St. Mary's or Gonzaga?
I would probably say it told you more about St. Mary's than Gonzaga. Gonzaga's died in the wool. That's a really good basketball team. I mean, they're number one coming into that game. Yeah, they got tripped up. Oh, boo-hoo. They're only going to go 15-1 in conference play or whatever it might be. Obviously, that's going to make a difference, but it just shows you the strength of the conference, Kevin, because so many times, you're right, we look at the West Coast Conference, and what do we say? It's Gonzaga, and it's nobody else there. That's not correct here. They have two to three really good basketball teams right off the top, you know, Gonzaga, St. Mary's, and then also the San Francisco Dons. They're going to make the tournament, and they might be able to do some damage, and we talked about it last week, you know, on the money line. just going over some of the estimated brackets on Bracketology, like, ooh, a number one seed. Yeah, the last team you want to face is coming into as your second round game is going to be up against St. Mary's. And that's probably going to happen to somebody. We'll see, though, because if we enter in the conference tournament play, because this is a little bit eye-opening, because usually it's Gonzaga rolls through the regular season, then rolls through the conference tournament, and maybe gets a little pushback in the final. What happens if St. Mary's win, obviously won on Saturday, but then pushes through and wins that conference tournament? No longer is St. Mary's going to be hanging around that 7 or 8 seed. They're going to get bumped up much higher, and rightfully so. But for me, I take much more out of St. Mary's winning this game, where maybe they're a player come conference tournament time. And also the way they play, Virginia-esque, right? Slowing the game down, playing good fundamental defense, making the right pass, putting stress on the opposing team's defense. That's a good basketball team out there in the WCC.
I think St. Mary's obviously deserves a ton of credit. 101 right now to win the national championship. They've moved all the way up to 17 on the latest edition of the KenPom rankings there. And this is a result that you have to, while it's a surprise, right, Donnie? If you were to say, hey, listen, where's Gonzaga get tripped up in WCC play? At St. Mary's, right? And that's exactly what we saw play out here. The reason for me, though, that I look at this Gonzaga result, and I'm trying to be fair to Gonzaga, because they don't play anybody. That's not true. But the problem for me with this Gonzaga team, Donnie, is they're not as good as last year's team. Last year's team is one of the best I know I have ever seen to not go out there and win a national championship. That team last year was dominant, regardless of opponent, until they ended up, you know, in the Final Four, crazy game at UCLA, and then, of course, Baylor handled them in that national championship. But this Gonzaga team, DRS, when you take a look at the toughest games that they've had to play this season, they've been vulnerable. And that's the problem for me right now with the Zags. You go back to those Power 5 groups that they were playing out of conference, right? Texas, Texas Tech, UCLA, they handled their business, no doubt about it. But we saw Duke beat them. We saw them lose to Alabama. But also, this was the most difficult game on their conference schedule. And they lost this game. So for me, it's just more evidence, in my opinion, that while Gonzaga does deserve the label of best team in the country, and while they should be a favorite to win a national championship, Donnie, they don't deserve to be 4-1, because Mark Few has been a 1 seed 4 other times. Mark Few has been a 4 seed or better 10 times as the Gonzaga head coach, and he's not been able to get the job done yet. And I'm not saying that this means that Mark Few's a bad coach, but until they get the job done, DRS, I don't think they deserve to be priced the way that they are in the odds to win the national championship.
Yeah, and I guess we're looking more of over, so they're going to be the number one overall seed, so technically the easiest path to victory. We'll see how that plays in. But also, you can't really take a one-game snapshot either from Saturday. You know, St. Mary's is a good ball club. I mean, you take 24-6 on the season, 12-3 in conference play now. You played them on the road. You're on a road swing here for Gonzaga, and they just got caught up. And also, keep in mind, take a look at the box score in this game. Drew Timmy, maybe the player of the year, 6 points. Chet Holmgren, surefire, and you know, NBA lottery pick, 6 points in this game. And how many times have we seen it, Kevin, where handicapping a game, Gonzaga's favored by 30. And we always would say, it's like, now look, if the starters leave the game with 5 minutes to go in a 25-point game, Gonzaga's bench guys are good enough to increase that lead into the 30s and get you a cover. Just looking at the box score right now, you know what's incredible? 57 points by the starters. And if you see the final scores, Kevin, 67-57 final. The bench for Gonzaga didn't score a single point in that game. I don't even care. Blowout One Direction, either way, the number one team in the country didn't get a single point from a bench player. That's an incredible performance by St. Mary's, and maybe something to look forward to as we head into conference tournament play and then also in the March Madness.
And it's also important, Donnie, when we're talking about it's – they're not as good as last year's team, this Zags group. They're just not. And I think in some way, because Timmy's still around and how good Gonzaga was last year, sometimes, Donnie, I feel like they're getting a boost from last year's team. And I just don't think that that should be the case. Chet Holmgren is – I think Chet Holmgren is their best player. Fouled out in this basketball game. 2 of 10 from Drew Timmy is completely unacceptable. Look, Drew Timmy was handed the player of the year on a silver platter preseason. They booked him at half the price of the next closest player, Donnie. All he had to do was handle his business in conference against, again, a conference that they should have been able to dominate, and they have dominated. Drew Timmy's not even in the race. I don't even think Drew Timmy's going to be a first-team All-American, despite the odds that he sat there. Drew Timmy's been a little bit disappointing. Nembhard's good. Nembhard was the fourth guard in the rotation last year. When you talk about Jalen Suggs, Corey Kispert, and Jolie I, this Gonzaga team is a very, very, very good basketball team. No doubt about it, DRS. Again, second right now in offense, sixth right now in defense from an efficiency perspective. But at 4-1, how do you justify betting that group? I can't get there. And I know that I'm saying this all, Donnie, where every other team that is priced, you know, in that same range also took a loss on Saturday. But it's way different, I feel, to lose at Arkansas, or maybe it's a little bit different to lose at Tennessee. But again, more importantly, Donnie, there's a one in front of this Auburn number relative to what Gonzaga is being priced at. I just have all season long not been able to justify the gap between Gonzaga and everyone else, and that remains to be the case.
And I think you're on to something here, but also, you know, we're looking at now the FanDuel Sportsbook, right? Gonzaga 4-1, Kentucky 7-1, Arizona plus 750, and so forth. Is there value now in Gonzaga? And the reason I bring that up is sometimes you like to see people jump off of that bandwagon. Oh my goodness, Gonzaga got beat in conference play. They're never going to be able to rebound from this. What if I tell you that they finish out the WCC season, but also at the same time go into conference tournament play and roll, and they meet St. Mary's in the final of the WCC championship in conference play and beat them by 15 points. Is that something we'll look back? Well, hey, they corrected their errors. Now they're going into the March Madness tournament extra hot. That's the one thing I do want to look at, because I love to look when a team loses there by double digits, gets held by St. Mary's. Oh, look, Gonzaga's not that good anymore. Maybe it's one of those buy points where you can actually get a better price than what you thought of maybe just a few days ago at this point.
And to close out the Gonzaga talk, next segment, we had a lot of the other results that we saw in college basketball. Still some great stuff in the CBB as well for hot or not. But Donnie, look, I think something that you talked about, you know, is Gonzaga going to be a one seed if they lost again inside this WCC tournament? They are a minus 390 favorite to win this tournament. Minus 390. They begin in the semifinal round. They are one win away from being one win away, so you understand that. Second choice is St. Mary's at 6-1, Santa Clara 11-1, and then the Dons check in at 30-1. The Dons are in right now, the Gonzaga portion of the bracket. How about Baylor, Kansas? How about Purdue going down? A lot of good stuff to get to. All next right here on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
College basketball provided us lots to sink our teeth into over the weekend. I want to take a look towards the SEC to begin, because the SEC, we talk, you know, upset Saturday, right, DRS? When there were two results over the weekend where there were the quote-unquote upsets, except actually the favorites won both games, and in one spot, actually the favorite didn't even cover in their quote-unquote upset. Let's start with Arkansas-Kentucky, because there was a lot that this game, I think, said about maybe both of these teams, Donnie. 75-73, Arkansas wins. Kentucky hits a half-court shot basically at the buzzer to cover a closing line of 2.5. The Razorbacks have absolutely every claim to hottest team in the country status. They still sit at 60-1 to win the national championship. Kentucky is the second choice on the board at 7-1. What did you make of the Razorbacks win here over the Wildcats?
Yeah, it looks like the Razorbacks now 23-6 on the season. SEC play 12-4, which is now identical to what Kentucky is in conference play. So it's one of those teams where maybe over the past couple weeks you should be taking note of, because heading into conference tournament play, which the SEC is so deep from top to bottom. Just let's just say one of these teams gets hot, and let's just call it Arkansas, and they roll through the SEC and win that conference tournament. That would be sensational. That's going to move them up a couple lines here in the March Madness. But at the same time, I still look at Kentucky, who did lose the game 75-73 on the road. Bud Walton Arena, tough place to play. We all get that. But Tshiebwe, 30-18, Kevin, in that game, and they lost. Mm-hmm. That is incredible stuff here. But I look forward to the future and say, if Kentucky is healthy and Kentucky is right, the inside-outside game that they have, the non-reliance on Kevin, we got to make, you know, 15 three-pointers a game just to stay in it. It's one of those teams that can do a lot of damage here. It was an unbelievable game, and we are on the radar here for Arkansas. But don't lose any, don't lose sight just yet of Kentucky, because when they get it together, they're going to be tough out.
So for the Arkansas side of it, the one thing when you go through the games that they've played through SEC play, they avoided a trip to either Auburn or Kentucky, and they still have not played at Tennessee, which is how they close out the regular season. I am not going to sit here and say, oh, who has Arkansas beat? Because they've beat Auburn, Kentucky, and Tennessee. But we know in college basketball, going on the road is a significantly harder run. If you look, again, this team was 10-5 overall and now sit here at 23-6. The one loss was at Alabama, right? I want to see what happens in that Arkansas-Tennessee game, because, again, look, Arkansas, there's no bubble here. This team's locked in. I cannot wait to see how they close out this regular season. They're going to be a dog at Tennessee. I'm not saying that they need to win that game to prove who they are, but is this team still being sat at 60-1? Is this team a, you know, hot group that's dangerous, or is this a legitimate national title contender? But on the Kentucky side, Donnie, again, a lot of these teams over the weekend, the losses stung, right? You know, we'll talk about the Arizona. That's a bad loss, right? Gonzaga, we're trying to, you know, roll unbeaten in conference play. I think Kentucky gained from this loss. First of all, Oscar Tshiebwe went from about a minus 180 range for National Player of the Year to minus 300 for National Player of the Year, putting up 30-18. And Kentucky's starting backcourt returned, except they were off the bench, and they combined to go 8 of 25 from the field. It was the first time that both of them had played in a couple of games here. I look at this Kentucky team, Donnie, and they have every claim not only to the second-best team in the country. I look at this Kentucky team, Donnie, and I think you could claim that they're the best team in the country.
No, you could do that, too. And also, we talk about when did this happen, by the way? The SEC in football, always known as probably the best conference over the past 20 years. And, like, the SEC basketball was sort of an afterthought. Like, hey, I got a couple nice teams, and every once in a while, Kentucky is good. Now, all of a sudden, turning into a fantastic conference. And the reason I bring that up is we take a look at teams like Gonzaga. We know they're a good basketball team. Maybe they don't get pressured each and every night. But if you come out of the SEC regular season as a champion, if you come out of the SEC conference tournament as a champion, you are battle-tested. Once you get into March Madness, where you're playing games on a night-to-night basis, close down the wire against talented basketball teams, that's a really good conference. And there's going to be a lot of teams that maybe you look past in the SEC because, hey, look at their conference record, Kevin. They just snuck in at a 500 record or maybe a game or two over 500 in the conference. Those are really good basketball teams, and those are the teams that you're not going to be surprised. Like, hey, look at that Sweet 16 run that they made. I didn't see that coming. You should have.
And as far as the other side, right, of the big SEC Saturday, this game that took place between Auburn and Tennessee, while I certainly think you can look at Tennessee as a big-time story, one of the better defenses in the country, Auburn feels like the talking point here, Donnie, because Auburn, listen, as a whole, 25-4, 13-3 in conference, all that's great, all that's wonderful. They are 3-3 in their last six, and they haven't covered in their last seven basketball games here. Auburn seems to be the opposite of Arkansas, playing their worst basketball at the most important time.
Yeah, it looked like one of those teams, Kevin, being Auburn, like they were untouchable throughout the season, going to walk through the tough SEC and, you know, head into conference tournament play. Bruce Pearl, you know, dancing on the sideline and doing those kung fu kicks after the games. But then again, hey, they're human out here. This is a really good team they lost to in Tennessee at home on the road, who plays very good defense. But also, when we sort of couple up some of these teams, right, Alabama and Auburn, the one thing they have going for them, if they get hot from three-point range, they can beat anybody and they can play good defense. But sometimes you're going to come up against a good defensive team like Tennessee, Kevin, and you're going to go 5 of 24 from three-point range, which is 20%, and you are going to get beat. So some of those teams I'm leery about. The same way we just talked about Kentucky, inside-outside game, non-reliant on three-point shot, where Whereas if you run into a team that's hot, there's not really too much you can do. But I like the even keel teams coming into conference tournament play and March Madness saying, hey, we don't have to rely on the three. We can go inside. But if we need to shoot the three, we can do it here. That's always that double-edged sword you're going to live with Auburn when you're betting them in conference tournament play and also into March Madness.
I will say, we talk always, you know, about teams where can you have one player get hot for a couple games and carry a bit of a load here. Jabari Smith, freshman, who's going to be a top three pick in this coming draft. 27 points on the road, hit big shots, had a huge four-point play in the game there. He's the kind of player who I think is going to only get better as the season goes on and inside that tournament play. Give Tennessee a ton of credit as well for what was a big-time result. Let me ask you, I think, about what was a true, true stunner, though, DRS, which was the Arizona-Colorado game, right? Again, Gonzaga losing is always surprising, but if it was going to be anywhere, it was going to be at St. Mary's. Arizona, Donnie, getting absolutely smashed by Colorado. I know they were on the road, but again, near double-digit favorite, being held to 63 points, and also, Donnie, blowing a halftime lead. Just everything about this result here is very surprising for Arizona. Is this the kind of game that you say, listen, back end of the regular season, no harm, no foul, or was this a concerning result for Arizona?
Yeah, sometimes you just get steamrolled, and it happens. They're college kids here. Also, back-to-back road games, you're playing in elevation. So maybe it's no surprise, Kevin, that you had a 37-32 lead there against Colorado and really got drubbed in the second half, 47-26. It's not a good look, but I'm telling you, some of these losses are actually good because now you say, okay, heading into the game, you know, we're 15-1 in Pac-12 play. Coach, I hear what you're saying. We got this. We're rolling up and down the court every game. Hey, make sure you run off that double team and use this pick and roll and, you know, go over the pick as opposed to underneath. Hey, coach, we got it. Doesn't matter what we do. We're winning basketball games. Now coach says, oh, yeah, do it your own way, 79-63. Better start listening back in, which is great because you'll get the kids' attention now at the end of the season here, rolling in the conference tournament play. I think it makes some sense. These type of losses, eye-opening maybe if you're looking just at the score. Wow, what happened to Arizona? Arizona's still a really good ball club. Sometimes games, it just doesn't work out. But I also look at this as maybe a motivational tool moving forward. Like, hey, guys, you just want to throw out the, you know, roll the basketball out there and just say, we got this game easy and even have a lead at the half on the road. You got to close games out. Maybe this is good food for fodder later in the season for them, particularly the conference tournament. And then again, heading into the field of 64.
For me, in the grand scheme, do I point at Arizona? That's a fraudulent group because they lost at Colorado? No. And 25-3, 15-2 in the Pac-12. Been a very, very impressive group all season long. But there's two points to be made about this. One, and let me give Gonzaga a bit of credit here because maybe I was a little hard on them to open up. Gonzaga never loses this game. That's the thing about Gonzaga. Is Gonzaga does not go to Colorado and lose by 16. No, Gonzaga goes to Colorado and lays 15 and probably covers such a number. The Bulldogs, if they lose, it's to the best teams in the country. Go look at the teams that they've lost to this year, right? The three, you know, Alabama, St. Mary's, and Duke, all inside Ken Pom's top 20. So give Gonzaga credit for that. But where this Arizona loss really can hurt them, and we'll talk about, you know, what the one line might look like in hot or not, is this is a very difficult pill to swallow here if you're Arizona, right? Kentucky drops a game. You saw Auburn lose once again, this time at Tennessee. You knew that Baylor or Kansas was going to drop a game going head-to-head, and you suffered the worst loss of the bunch by a pretty significant margin as well. So if you're now Arizona, you find yourself on a two line inside the Gonzaga bracket. That throws things off a bunch, and that is why at this point in the game, I'm not sure I will be betting any other team to win the national championship because I have the Providence 100-1 DRS, which is up to 60. You know, go Friars, getting the job done, Big East regular season champs. But I'm not sure, Donnie, that any other team will be worth it because how in flux this bracket is.
It's great, and the good part about it is we're going to talk a lot coming up, as we said, this week. Conference tournament play starts. Again, the big boys start to play the following week, but there's a lot of teams out here with a lot of value to try to break down, and it's going to be great to see it day-to-day change some of these numbers and see who we end up with, Kevin, when we start picking some of these long shots to start these tournaments.
No doubt about it. We'll talk about that Baylor-Kansas game, Purdue's upset, and the one line next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on the early line. Before we transition to hot or not, I want to talk about the game between Baylor and Kansas, and this will help us transition to our opening topic there, as is. Donnie, Baylor and Kansas started out all Jayhawks, and it looked like it was going to be a scenario where you say, man, Kansas has that team's number, and maybe even something's wrong with this Baylor group. Kansas at one point led by as many as 13 points, but Baylor started to not only climb back and find themselves in the driver's seat, they won this game by double digits themselves, 80-70. When you look at these two teams right now, do you price them about evenly, or does one maybe inspire a little bit more confidence than the other?
I think Baylor inspires a little bit more confidence than the other because they still are a little bit banged up and injured. And when they get right, they're a really good basketball team, just raising a banner now saying, hey, we've been there, done that before. Kansas, yes, is still one of those teams where you are going to have to watch out coming down the stretch. But you take a look at that game and encapsulate it, Kevin. One game on the road, it's going to be hard to win in Baylor. But you have that double-digit lead early in the half, and you let it slip away, 32-31 at the break, where it feels like that game should have been double digits at the break. In the second half, 49 points for Baylor as they pull away with a 10-point victory. But for me, it's about what I expected out of Kansas. Good basketball team. But it's one of those where you figure like you're waking up that sleeping giant. When I say sleeping giant, they're still 24-5 on the season, 12-4 in Big 12 play. But when you look at Baylor and you look at them getting healthy and you look at the coach that's won a championship, well-respected around college basketball, and this team with the talent they have, there's no reason to believe, Kevin, that Baylor can't go on another run and win another championship here. So when I look at this game, it's not so much as Kansas blew that game and should have won it. It was like, whoa, here comes Baylor. They've been there, done that, and they can do it again.
Yeah, I think that it was – the thing for me, though, is if Baylor would have lost that game, the way it was trending, Donnie, I'm not necessarily telling you I would have completely thrown them aside, but I know that neither – they wouldn't have been booked in the same price, right, in odds to win the national championship there. And I think, though, for Kansas, they can hang their hat on that, you know, victory versus Baylor. But in some other ways here, Donnie – I now can look at these two teams' resumes, and I think Baylor has a big edge up on Kansas, what they've provided throughout this season. And I think that's a big boost for Baylor because I think that means they're in the driver's seat for the potential one seed overall when we're talking about, you know, who's going to land on the one line here. And I think this game perfectly sets up the next topic here, Donnie, to bat lead off and hot or not. Hot or not, any conference will have multiple one seeds. What do you think, DRS?
I'm going to go not on this one here. And sometimes it's so simple to say to yourself, like, well, hey, the SEC is really good. The ACC has always had potential. The Big Ten has a lot of strong teams. But sometimes you have to go with the betting markets and what they anticipate for just like a championship in college basketball. Because if you have a one line, it means you probably have the easiest pathway to victory. And if you have a one line, Kevin, what does that also mean? You're one of the best teams in college basketball. But look at the FanDuel Sportsbook right now. Gonzaga, one seed, WCC. Kentucky, one seed. I'm just going over what my estimates would be just based on the actual pricing here. Kentucky, SEC. Arizona, that third line here listed, but they are in the Pac-12. Duke in the ACC, which brings up Auburn here. Now, the reason I bring this up and I say, you know what, I don't think it's going to happen. Gonzaga, to me, is probably favored and should be rightfully so by a wide margin to win the WCC conference tournament. If they do that, they should be able to get a one line. If we're looking at Kentucky and Auburn, they're two really good basketball teams. You could see either one of those teams winning, but also one of those teams, Kevin, knocking each other out in the SEC. And also keep in mind, if we're looking from Kentucky and Auburn's perspective, there's so many good teams in the SEC, Kevin. It's not as if you're going to say to yourself, okay, well, Kentucky and Auburn are automatically going to meet in the SEC championship game for their conference tournament. One of these teams might get knocked out early, which is going to knock them way off of that one line with even a chance to get in. So let's just say Kentucky wins it, right? So we have Gonzaga and Kentucky. That's two of the four number one seeds listed there. Arizona out in the Pac-12. If we think they're the best team out there and they run through the conference tournament, that's a one seed. And the same thing, we're looking at the Duke Blue Devils here in the ACC, which, by the way, doesn't feel like they're getting that same amount of respect or, oh, Duke's just really hyped up because of their name. That's a great basketball club in Coach K's final year that looks like they're going to do big things. So just looking at those four teams, that leads me to have all of those ones. Now, granted, as I said again, you're taking a look here at what we think is going to happen. Just the way it's setting up for me now, I'm going to go against the odds and say every conference is going to have a participant as opposed to more than one getting onto those one or two lines there to make those four total teams. So I'm going to say no in this one, Kevin. What do you think?
Yeah, so it's a great breakdown by you, right? And I think the one thing is you basically have only three spots open because Gonzaga is going to land on the one line. Gonzaga, because if they lost to St. Mary's again, which feels like the only team that would even have a shout on a neutral, that would be a complete stunner. Gonzaga will once again be a double-digit favorite in the basketball game. It's hard for me to get there. You look right now at the SEC, and they're going to occupy one of those spaces. Either Kentucky or Auburn will certainly be one of those teams, and I feel the same exact way about Baylor or Kansas. Whoever wins that conference tournament feels like they are going to occupy one of the spaces. So I almost, Donnie, feel like I'm really only down to one open spot. And really, it's only the other option of Baylor, Kansas, or the other option of Kentucky and of course, Auburn, because you do have, as you've mentioned, Arizona in the mix, Miss Villanova in the mix, and Duke. I don't, though, believe that Purdue is in the mix here, Donnie. The Big Ten doesn't feel, for me, truly a part of this conversation. Well, I wanted to unpack Duke because I thought that was interesting what you brought up there. But do you think that Purdue and do you believe that or Villanova are in the mix here to find themselves around this one-line conversation?
They're around the one-line conversation because you can never say never. And the reason I'm bringing that up is let's just say Villanova wins the Big East tournament right at the end of the season. Mm-hmm. And let's just say Gonzaga gets upset the first time they play in their conference tournament. Arizona gets upset early in the Pac-12. You know, Kentucky and Auburn do the same. There's a lot that can still happen because I preface that by saying it's not so far-fetched because we see so many teams with legitimate chance under, what, 20-1 to win a national championship that you could see some crazy things starting out. And if Villanova wins the Big East championship, which they're going to beat some really good teams in order to do that, there's a very good chance they can line up on that one line.
I think that Nova has a significantly better chance than Purdue. I don't think the Purdue loss to Michigan State is one that, again, Michigan State was not favored in that game. That was a true upset there by a Spartans team that was playing some terrible basketball entering into that contest. Purdue's making a trip to Wisconsin. And here's the other thing as well. And, you know, we're projecting out. Purdue is not going to be some minus money favorite to win the Big Ten tournament. Nova, though, has the chance now to host Providence. They're going to be favored in that basketball game. We know that. And they're going to be favored to win the Big East. I think Nova is sneaky live for one of these one seeds. So I'll agree with you, Donnie, that I believe that this is a not because I think the best option for double one line is Kansas and Baylor, but I'm not sure that those teams could survive basically another meeting, which would need to happen. And it just feels like the winner is going to take one of those spots. And the point of that then means that we're kind of opening up the floor plan here for a lot of teams to really be in the mix for a great position. But the one thing that you and I definitely agreed on here is that Gonzaga is going to be a one plus 400 to win the championship. This team is minus 115 to make the Final Four. Minus 115, your, you know, typical bet line there on the Zags to find themselves as one of the last four teams remaining here. DRS hot or not, the Bulldogs, Gonzaga, will make the Final Four.
And I consider this like a two-part here because I do think, Kevin, that Gonzaga makes the Final Four. They're supposed to. They're favored to make the Final Four. They're minus 115. But at the same time, is Donnie Wrightside going to be betting Gonzaga at minus 115 to make the Final Four? I'm not going to do that because, again, this is all prefaced by saying, typically last year, Kevin, give me the same bet. No brain. Gonzaga's going to roll minus 115 to win it all because that's how good that team was. They end up not winning it all, but certainly making it almost enough to win it all, which they would have cashed that ticket to make the Final Four at that price. This year, I see it a little bit differently because you're talking about one-line teams. And again, let's just say Gonzaga wins the conference tournament in WCC play. play. Are they going to get a number one overall seed? We'll see if that factors out. But you're still going to get a good basketball team in round two, a good basketball team in round three. And if we're taking a look at Gonzaga here, who wasn't unbeaten, the question wasn't, hey, we're going to go unbeaten the entire season, conference play and out of conference until we hit into the tournament. That's not the case here. And if you're looking for a game plan that you can beat this team, and again, you can't always run this. Hey, I'm going to make sure your two best players score combined 12 points. That doesn't happen. But I think those games like Saturday night on the road in Moraga, where you lose to St. Mary's, really pops off that light bulb and goes, okay, we know they're a good basketball team, but they're not invincible. And you can beat them with a slow down strategy and play basketball the right way. So I think it can make some sense. So I'm going to go, yes, I do think Gonzaga actually makes the Final Four. But no, I'm not betting him at a minus 115. I need a better price than that.
Yeah, I'm surprised that really anyone is a minus money number to be inside that Final Four. The thing for me with Gonzaga, though, Donnelly, is if that same price existed for them to make the Elite Eight, wouldn't think twice. Because, again, Gonzaga's floor is higher than anybody else's in the country. Like, whoever the 16 seed is, sorry. Certainly not going to be, you're not going to become the second team to ever go out there and beat a one spot. And the 8-9 game, Donnie, while I think there are some teams on, you know, your projected 8-9 line that could be very, very sneaky, Gonzaga's just not the kind of team that feels like an 8 or 9 is going to get into the mix with them. And then all of a sudden, right, you're in the Elite Eight. You expect them to handle their business in a 4 or 5. But again, if I'm transitioning minus 115 to a money line in Gonzaga's, you know, game versus 1-4, cool. But now I'm taking 115 to win 3 basketball games to then play a potential 2. And here's where the conversation that we just had all ties in, you know, Donnie. To have to win 3 games to then bring minus 115 into a matchup against potentially Kentucky, Arizona, Baylor, Kansas, Auburn. Because, Donnie, the only team we feel great about getting a 1 seed is Gonzaga, which means all of these other teams that we've listed here that are very, very dangerous might find themselves on the 2 line. And that's the problem with that Bulldogs price here. The number just doesn't make sense. There's far too many dangerous teams that they could be meeting in the Elite Eight.
Exactly. So this is one of those years where, you know, we'll talk about our brackets and we'll be filling them out over the next couple weeks. This is one where anybody can win this, Kevin, I feel this year. You know, sometimes, like, you know, you see, like, oh, you know, I'm going to let my 8-year-old kid fill one out, or my wife who doesn't win college basketball, and all of a sudden they're lining up next to you and in the lead in the pool in the office. That could happen this year, because those blue bloods that we usually take a look at, there's teams down here, Texas Tech 25-1, UCLA 28-1, Tennessee 40-1, legitimate contenders to make a Final Four run. It's going to be fun to see it play out, no doubt.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, take a quick break here on the early line, and we'll come back. We'll take a look at the rest of these Final Four odds, because if you look right now, you have yourself a bunch of teams that are inside this 5-1 range, right? Kentucky, Arizona, Purdue, Duke, Auburn, right, and Kansas all under a 3-1 marker. You've got Nova 4-1, Texas Tech 5-1. But how far down the board could you go? We saw some of the teams that pulled some big results this week hanging around a 10-1 price. That is how we close out our opening hour of the early line here. Where's the value in the Final Four market? It's Kevin Walsh. It's Donnie Wrightside. We are live here on a Monday morning on Sports Grid. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, closing out hour number one. Let's get a big recap of the is that what people wanted? No? No euphoria? All right, whatever. Final Four odds here, DRS. What do we think? How far down the board does it catch your eye? I mean, St. Mary's, 16-1. Ohio State, Providence, get fired up. Hawkeyes, 20-1. What piques your interest?
Yeah, it's very good. Like, you get, because Texas 65-1, very talented here. Arkansas, the same thing we just talked about. I feel like, Kevin, I need to take a deep shot in the SEC. And if I'm going to do that, Arkansas 60-1 really fits that. Mm-hmm. But if you're looking for pedigree programs, Kevin, on like the outskirts of like these major, you know, the high major teams that we always talk about on the show, Houston at 40-1 is really interesting. And the reason I bring that up here, because they have obviously very good offense, good guard play, play good defense. But one of those teams you might overlook. So when we start to talk about, you know, winning the overall championship, they're sitting at 40-1. Do I actually think Houston can win it overall? Not necessarily. But this is one of those teams to make the Final Four. Take a 40-1 shot, and you won't be surprised when they wind up in the Elite Eight, and you can start making money off those tickets. But for a true deep run in this tournament, the 60-1 their price on Arkansas makes sense. But one of those sleeper teams I'm probably going to have a little bit of a chunk on, Houston Cougars, for sure.
Houston's very interesting. BPI, second. Net, third. KenPom, sixth. Last time the committee gave you an idea where things sat, like, yeah, that's not really a top 16 if you had to ask. You can catch that group on the five line. And that's kind of the problem, I think, for me with Houston. A team that's plus 750 to make the Final Four. Is that a group that could very well find themselves coming out of a region?
Stop no-selling Houston over here. Why you no-selling Houston?
No, listen, you know sold the fact that I was asking you about Final Four odds instead of national championship. You're lucky I even responded to the fact that we're talking about Houston.
Right.
Yeah, no doubt.
You probably had to check the
notes
and say, is he right? I was probably right. You probably wrote it wrong. So
no, man. It was a question. There's no writing. It was a question.
Look, I don't even know what this segment was supposed to be about, to be honest. So whatever.
Yeah, well, why bother, man? Nah, how's your weekend? Until next time, we'll be right back.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.